Who are you?
I jokingly say that's why I carry my driver's license, so that if I forget who I am, I can look. More importantly than being able to give a name, do you know who you are? If you claim to be a follower of Christ, do you know who you are? We have been in 1 John for the last few weeks, and we're going to finish looking at 1 John chapter 5. And in this chapter, John addresses who we are in Christ, your identity in Christ. Do you know who you are? We're going to read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. John writes, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life." Who are you? Who you are in Christ is, you are an overcomer. Jesus has won the victory. I got to watching, we switched our television around and got to, I had watched a little bit of the Ohio State-Penn State game, and I got busy doing other things yesterday, and so I decided I wanted to see what was going on in the college football world, and I turned it on, and it was the same game again. And I got to thinking, you know, it's 5 o'clock, and I think that thing started at noon. There's no way it's over. And so I was like watching history. And what he's saying here is, and I wanted to know who won. Well, the victory had already been won. I just didn't know whose it was. Well, the victory in Christ has already been won. I don't know if it's yours or not, but it is mine. I am an overcomer. In verse 1, John began laying the foundation for his statement that the one who believes in Jesus will overcome the world. His first statement is this, that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is born of God. Now that is no some, you know, I believe that there's a real John Doe somewhere. You know, that's the name we give as an alias or, you know, a makeup name. But that there is a really somebody. And there is really a Jesus that came from heaven, and that he lived among us, and that he had taken on human flesh. And he died a death that he did not deserve, that we did. And if I believe that, if you believe that, then you are born of God. Now, again, this is not mere mental or intellectual assent or even knowing about Jesus. It is faith. Did you have an engineer check that pew out before you sat down on it this morning? You might should have. Particularly, there's one in here that you really, and I'm making that up. But that's what faith is when we transfer our weight onto it. Faith in Jesus Christ is when I transfer all that I am, all that I've done, all my history, but also more importantly, all my future onto Him. And that is faith. And that is the transferring, this is the transferring the totality of all you are onto Jesus. This is transformation. And this is new birth that will manifest itself in love for God the Father and love for others. And a result of this transforming new birth will be in the desire to obey Him. God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, man, I don't want more rules. John also says His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, if you want to know how to live life the best way, follow His rules. Luckily, I am past the put it together stage. I have said this more than once. Luckily, I am past the put it together stage for Christmas stuff. Because I don't like staying up to 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning putting kids' toys together. And I have done that more than once. I'm an instruction kind of guy. I can't just look at something and know how it goes together. I have to have the instructions, and that's what God's Word is, His commandments. His commandments are good. They're not burdensome. They're how God designed us to live the life we all want. But sin, disobedience, the attitude of, I know better than God knows how to live, only leads to the world overwhelming and defeating a person. And death comes. Death of hope, death of the life we want, death by being overwhelmed by the world. But being born of God overcomes the world. Being born of God gives victory over the world. And this comes about by faith, that transferring of your weight, that transferring of all that you think you know best about onto Him. Being born of God gives victory. He is the Son of God. Jesus overcame sin, death, and the grave. He overcame the world. And you are placing your faith in Jesus. And your placing your faith in Jesus causes you to overcome sin, death, and the grave, the world as well. If you've ever played the board game Monopoly, and probably most of us have you played the newer takeoff of it, Monopoly Deal? Oh, it's a fun card game. You know, the old game had a board, and you had all these little pieces, and you went around, and you collected little houses, and then you hoped somebody... And the object of the game is the same, to accumulate properties and money. Well, in the Monopoly Deal game, if somebody tries to take a property from you, hopefully you have a Just Say No card, which can be played at any time to cancel the actions of the card played on you. And that card allows you to overcome the opponent's intentions. And faith in Jesus, who you are in Christ, allows you to overcome the world. Satan, your opponent, is just came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus has won the overcoming victory. Now, I don't know if you are a listener of contemporary Christian music, but it's been 4 or 5 years ago now that there was a young lady came out with a song called Overcomer. You're an overcomer in God. And evidently she got some pushback from some people. Because I think what they were thinking was is that if we accept Christ, in some churches, some places teach that if you accept Christ, then everything will be perfect. No, people die too early. People get sick way too young. But Jesus is worth it. He is the overcomer. Yes, bad things do happen. You know, the old question is why do bad things happen to good people? And the true response to that is there are no good people. All that we really are sinners saved by grace. Bad things do happen. But thinking about Psalm 23 that speaks of the valley of the shadow of death, there is a difference between walking through that valley and being run over by death. And I didn't think about that in a lot of ways, but where we lived in South Carolina, the post office was close enough for me to walk to. And let me tell you, Highway 1 is still a major north-south artery in our country. And I was walking along one day in a semi-truck. However, whatever time of day it was, a semi-truck went by in the shadow. Now, let me tell you, the shadow didn't hurt me. But boy, had I been out in the road. And that's what living and walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. This morning, do you have hope of being in the presence of Christ and everything good for eternity after death versus being isolated in misery for eternity? Do you have hope? If you do, you are an overcomer. Do you know who you are? Who you are in Christ is you are an overcomer because you have been bought at a precious price. You are valuable to Jesus. You are valuable to Jesus. John shifts his thinking in verse 6 to be sure we understand who Jesus is. There is more than adequate evidence to prove that Jesus is the Son of God who makes possible eternal life. He says, Jesus is the one who came by water and he came by blood. Now, there are two schools of thought as to what exactly John meant. One is that the water and the blood were the terminal ends of Jesus' public ministry. Somebody's agreeing with me, I think. Now, if that's not the cutest little girl. And luckily, she does not have my genetic burden, but I do know who some of whose genetic burden she does have. You say, how could somebody so cute, so sweet? She has a sin nature. It won't be long. In fact, it's probably already started. She'll know what mom and dad tell her to do. And she's going to think, I know better. And that's the struggle that you and I struggle with every day. Do I really know better than God knows? Do I really know better about how to live life, how to do things in life, than the one who spoke it all into existence? Now, back to the two schools of thought. One is that the water and the blood were the terminal ends of his public ministry, his baptism by John the Baptist and his crucifixion. Another school of thought is that the water signified his birth and the blood being the blood shed as he was crucified. Jesus was fully man and Jesus was fully God. And the Spirit testifies to that. That Jesus took on human flesh. He didn't have the sin nature, but he was tempted in every way that you and I are tempted. And he still lived a sinless, perfect life. And the Spirit of God testifies to this. These three, the water, the blood, and the Spirit, that the Son of God took on that human form. And he gained victory over sin, death, and the grave. And he gives us eternal life. So resulting in that person being an overcomer in Christ. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you have that life. Listen to this from a devotional. Beware of the pleasant view of the fatherhood of God. God is so kind and loving that of course he will forgive us. That thought, based solely on emotion, cannot be found anywhere in the New Testament. The only basis on which God can forgive us is the tremendous tragedy of the cross of Christ. To base our forgiveness on any other ground is unconscious blasphemy. The only ground on which God can forgive our sin and reinstate us to His favor is through the cross of Christ. There is no other way. Forgiveness, which is so easy for us to accept, cost the agony at Calvary. We should never take the forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our sanctification in simple faith, and then forget the enormous cost to God that made all of this ours. Forgiveness is the divine miracle of grace. The cost to God was the cross of Christ. To forgive sin while remaining a holy God, this price had to be paid. Never accept a view of the fatherhood of God if it blots out the atonement. The revealed truth of God is that without the atonement, He cannot forgive. He would contradict His nature if He did. The only way we can be forgiven is by being brought back to God through the atonement of the cross. God's forgiveness is possible only in the supernatural realm. Compared with the miracle of the forgiveness of sin, the experience of sanctification is small. Sanctification is simply the wonderful expression or evidence of the forgiveness of sins in a human life. But the thing that awakens the deepest fountain of gratitude in a human being is that God has forgiven his sin. Paul never got away from this, and John didn't either. Once you realize all that it costs God to forgive you, you will be held as in a vise, constrained by the love of God. Can you say today that you have been bought at a precious price? Do you have this eternal life that only Jesus offers? Let me tell you, this is a passage that you ought to preach to yourself every day. When the bad news comes, remember, I'm an overcomer in Christ. When things don't go the way you were hoping or even planning, even working maybe years towards, I am an overcomer in Christ. And remember, tell yourself, remind yourself that you have been bought at a precious price. God laid out His Son. He sent His Son. And we ought to think of this passage in view of Thanksgiving. You know, we come together Thursday to celebrate Thanksgiving. What are you going to be thankful for? That you're an overcomer? That you have been bought with a price? I hope so.